Are you a tattletale? Okay, we'll work on that then. You think, what in the world? Y'all know I'm different. I'm going to really be different if these notes ain't in this Bible. Okay. Thank you, Jody. I appreciate Jody being here and faithful. I appreciate him. Okay. Y'all ready for this? I don't know where these thoughts come from. I'm not saying everything that I tell you is from God tonight. I'm just telling you these are my thoughts. Okay, y'all ready for this? I want you to turn in the Bible first. Okay? Let's start with the Bible. That's a good place to start. Amen? Start with the Bible. But I want to talk to you tonight about the tattletales. Okay? I already talked to you about gossip. Okay? That we'll work on that later. But I want to talk about the tattletales. I've never thought about this. I've never titled the message this. I've never tried to make a connection between a word like that and the Bible. So I'm sure y'all are already saying, where in the world is he going? I don't even know. No, I'm just kidding. I've studied some, and I just wanted to share a thought with you, okay? It's not going to be nothing really, really super duper duper deep. It's just something that's on my mind and my heart. When you preach what's on your mind and your heart. But this is my opportunity to talk about tattletales. And so I want to start in the book of John chapter 4. Most of you would know, I'm talking like I'm talking into that mic. I'm not even talking into that mic. Most of you've read this text. It's where Jesus starts off there in verse number 1. And he goes down through Samaria. And as he goes down through Samaria, we can see that where that Jesus is actually there. And he finds a woman that is there at the well. And when Jesus and this woman engages in conversation, things begin to take place that's going to change her life. She had an encounter with not only just Jesus, the man that walked by the Sea of Galilee that was there with the disciples, but she was having a conversation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She was having a conversation with the Alpha, the Omega. We just came through Christmas, so she was having a conversation with Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. She was having a conversation with God. Think about that. Where the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, we live in a day and an hour where you tell people you're talking to God, they kind of look at you sort of silly, don't they? They kind of look at you like, I don't know where you're coming from on that. But you know the thing about it is with you and I that are born again, that are saved, that have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, I mean, think about this for a minute. You're talking to the infinite God, the everlasting God, the almighty God, the God that put the stars in their place and put the moon in its place, the God that's the creator. And I mean, sometimes in my little old bitty finite mind, that infinite thought of God just absolutely sometimes seems to be incomprehensible. Are you with me tonight? It just seems like it's way far more than I can grasp. So here Jesus comes and he finds this woman there near Jacob's well. He finds her there and Jesus begins to open this conversation with her. We see that there in verse number 7. And he said, "It cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy some food. And that then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" Two laws of the Old Testament there in action. One is the interaction between Jesus, a man, and a woman. Secondly, the interaction that took place between a Jew and a Samaritan. So that was forbidden as well at that time. And again, because he says they have no dealings with the Samaritans. And then, and I won't get into a lot of that I could, and I don't want to take the time to do that. But Jesus answered and said unto her, in verse number 10, and I love his answer. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith, that's a very important word, because saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would say, he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Verse number 12, and art thou greater than our father Jacob? It gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Verse number 14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Aren't you glad Jesus, even in 2022, is still satisfying your spiritual thirst? Aren't you glad today to know that you too have found this well that you can drink from this evening? If you look in the book of John, and I know that you know these scriptures, but if you look in the book of John chapter 7, when you look in verses number 37, 38, down through there, Jesus said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. Come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he said, but this spake he of the Spirit, which that he believeth on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's last Sunday night's message. So we see here in Sunday's message, so we see here again that Jesus is telling her, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There is something supernatural takes place when you and I have a supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ. Somebody said one time that when the super touches the natural, you have the supernatural. Amen? There's something different about you and I when we look into the Word of God and we see where the Word of God says, again, that we can have everlasting life. Now, this woman looked back at Jesus, and I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this to really get where I want to go here in a minute. So Jesus and this woman, again, is having this conversation. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus tells her to go and call her husbands. And she says, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you've rightly said. And he says there that you've had five. And he says, and the one that you have now is not truly your husband. Basically, she was shacking up. So we know that she was a sinner woman, if you will. And she had not had one of the most relationships with men, if you will. A lot of stuff going on there. You know, maybe she felt like an outcast. Maybe that's why she was at the well late. I don't know what the situation was in that part right there. But anyway, Jesus knew her past. Jesus knew where she was at. And Jesus found her where she was at. And then the woman of verse 19 begins to say, sir, he says that I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then they start talking about worshiping. Jesus says that they tried to make it just about worshiping there in Jerusalem, but Jesus said that they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth, that the Father seeketh such to worship him. We see all of that down through verses 24 and 25. And then Jesus said in verse 26, I that speaketh unto thee am he. Jesus introduced himself through this, and I went really fast through that, I understand that. But Jesus introduced himself to this woman at that time. This woman's life was transformed. We see that. We see that her life was transformed. We can see that how the Bible says in verse number 28, and that's where I want to talk about in just a few minutes. When you look in verse number 28, we can tell that this woman's life was transformed by the power of God. Something took place in her life. Let me just say it like this. When Jesus comes into your life, when Jesus comes into my life, it's hard to keep it to yourself, ain't it? It's really hard to be silent. It's really hard to just muzzle you, if you will, and not go and tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. We look at this woman, and we look at what took place there. And we see that what happened at this time in verse 28, the Bible said, and she left her water pot. She left the natural. She left her natural water pot there. And she went into the city, and she went her way into the city, and she saith unto the men. Now let me tell you where all this really happened in my mind. She kindly, in a way, become a tattletale, sort of, a little bit. Because when you think about what she done at this time, you look at this word, and I looked it up. It's in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I kindly like this definition in a way. Because this definition says someone, and then it gives parentheses, such as a child, if you will, who tells secrets about what someone else has done. Well, this woman at that time, and this is where I guess in my thinking on this, she became like a tattletale. She went and started telling everybody else that had not yet experienced Jesus what she had experienced herself. Now again, when you think about it, it went on and it talked about the definition of this. It talked about another word that we all know, and this other word actually is a noun word that describes the individual, if you will. And it's the word an informer. An informer. And we think about an informer. Actually, an informer is one that imparts knowledge or news unto others. So at this particular time, this woman became an informer, one that went and told the tale of what had happened to her to somebody else. I wonder, in this context of what I'm trying to express this evening, if we really have any tattletales in the building. And the reason I'm saying that, are you really going and telling somebody? Are you really going and telling on Jesus? Are you really going and telling somebody else what Jesus has done in your life? Somebody said, as I thought about it today myself, that is evangelism. When you take the good news of the glorious gospel and you actually take it and you share that good news. When we look at Jesus' life itself, Jesus Himself went and told what the Father had sent Him to the earth to do. It's there in the book of Luke. We can see that in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. And we know the story again very well there. And we can just look at what Jesus did, because Jesus was there on that great day of the feast, and Jesus had went out, and Jesus began to preach the word on the Sabbath day. Excuse me. And it said, and then there was delivered unto him the book there in verse number 17 of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened up the book where he found the place where it was written. This is what Jesus did when Jesus made his public debut, if you will. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. I'm telling you, this again is how I feel. I think that we need to go back to the very basics of the church. And I think we need to go back to the very basics of the church and do what Jesus did. And just go and tell the story, all that happened in this lady's life as she become a tattletale, if you will. She become an informer, if you will. And you know, we always, I don't know about you, but I can only speak to me. We always look for the big. We always look for the awesome. We always look for more. We always look for the super duper golly whopper, if you will. Whatever happened to just simply preaching the gospel? Simply telling somebody the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Telling somebody, as we sing that song, look what the Lord has done. Jesus, when you look at Jesus' mission, Jesus said right here, He said, God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. I don't know about you, but I can only think to myself as I read through that, that you don't have to go far beyond the door of this church to find those that are described right here to heal the brokenhearted. I wonder tonight if you know anybody that is brokenhearted or has been brokenhearted. Hey, the only thing I can tell you is go be a tattletale. Go and tell on Jesus. Go and tell somebody what the Lord has done in your life. Be like the woman at the well. Go and tell somebody what Jesus has done. When we begin to look back at our text just a minute, I want to look at this because the Bible says there, in chapter number 4 again of John, when you look down in the latter part of that verse, in verse number 28, the Bible says, the woman left her water pot, she went her way into the city, and she saith to the men, she went and told the story. Oh, my friend, to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. I wonder tonight if you know anybody that needs deliverance. Oh, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I see people all the time that needs deliverance. But a lot of people that I see and a lot of people that I talk to, they want another method to get delivered. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, and this is what I believe, and I know you believe it. The only one that can really set you free is Jesus, because the Bible said, and whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We sing the song in the hymn book, He set me free. I wonder tonight if anybody in the room wants to be set free. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life that I needed God to come by and just touch my mind, touch my heart, touch my life, and send deliverance my way. And then he says here in the word of the Lord, not only deliverance, but he says the captives and recovering the sight of the blind. Even though that too could be talking about the physical blindness that was rapid during this time, when Jesus did that, he took spittle, put it in the blinded eyes. He told the man to go and wash in the pool, and he come back seeing. He done what Jesus did. But I wonder how many people that you could go tattle on. I wonder how many people you could go inform. I wonder how many people that you could go tell on Jesus to, and so that they too could have the experience of being set free from the bondages of sin and everything that's in our society today. Now, I don't know how you feel. I can only tell you how I feel. But we live in a different world than we did a couple of years ago. It is a different world. It is. How many of you know that? It is. It is different. And this is not anything to do with politics. But I tell you, there was those that wanted us not even to look like America anymore. They wanted to rob us of our freedoms. They wanted to strip us of our religious freedoms, if you will. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Even though we live in a different day and a different hour, I still stand and confess, and I still stand and declare the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Amen. I still believe the gospel. If you believe it, give the Lord a praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah. I believe it tonight. And then set at liberty to them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When I began to look at that, I found in verse number 29, look at this lady. This is where this thought really come to me from. You know, I was reading throughout the scripture because I know that it was not yet Jesus' time for him to be revealed. And it said that in Matthew 8 and a few other places, and I didn't look them all up, but because I knew I would just get stuck there if I did. But you know, there are many times Jesus would tell them not even to tell, for them not even to tell who he was yet. Because we know that his hour was not yet. It was not time for him to be revealed who he was. But yet oft times I wonder in my own mind, and I didn't research it out, and I didn't spend a lot of time in it just thinking about it. But I wonder how many people really kept it to themselves. This woman couldn't keep it to herself. There's something in our life today. There's something in our heart today that when Jesus Christ has changed our life, there's an old Southern gospel song that says, I just couldn't keep it to myself. Joanne, I can't think of the whole song, But I cannot keep it to myself. I tell somebody. How long has it been? Let me ask you a question. And again, this is just me thinking out loud. How long has it been since you become a tattletale for Jesus? How long has it been since you really went and told somebody, hey, let me tell you about Jesus? There's a young lady on the K-Love has got a song, Ann Wilson. Her name's Ann Wilson. She says, let me tell you about my Jesus. How many of you heard that song? I like that little song. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And you know the world that is hurting today? They don't need to just see us. They need to be told about Jesus. We need to let the world know what Jesus has done for us. Everywhere we can. If we're in a restaurant, tell somebody. If we're in Walmart, tell somebody. If you're on your job, somebody says, I can't talk about stuff like that on my job. We'll put a post-it note on your desk. Whatever you got to let somebody see Jesus in you somehow, some way. When Jesus touched this lady's life, she had to go tell somebody. She had to let somebody know what this man done. The Bible says there in verse 29, come and see a man. So here she was, the Bible says there in 28, that she went and saith unto to the men. I don't know what men it was. It might have been the five plus the one. Or it might have just been the men of the city. And then it says here in the Bible, it says, come and see a man. I mean, this is the story of redemption. When she said, come and see a man, which told me all things that I ever did. Oh God, it is not this the Christ? Look at this. And then it says, and then they become tattletales. I like that, don't you? And it says, and then they went out of the city and came unto him. And then the Bible says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, that's when he met back up with his disciples right there. So we look at this in the context of what this woman did. She said, come and see a man. Oh, my friend, come and see what Jesus has done. In the book of Acts, we look in the book of Acts real quick. In the book of Acts chapter 17, we can see in a few verses of scripture right there. When Jesus was there, when Paul was there at Thessalonica, they was there and they had came to the synagogue of the Jews. And it says that when Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs to suffer and risen again from the dead, and that this Christ, or this Jesus, whom I preach unto you. When Paul went and preached, there's a part of this, and you can read down through there, when Paul went and preached, and it says in verse 4, some of them believed and consorted unto Paul and Silas and the devout Greeks and the great multitude of the chief women, not a few, and the Jews which believed not, moved to envy. You see that whole story. The whole city came in an uproar in verse 5, and it says they assaulted the house of Jason, and they sought to bring them out of the people. Now look at verse number 6. I like this because of what took place. I would not have liked to have been in their shoes, but yet look what happened when Paul and Silas and all of those that was there, when they began to preach Jesus. Now, I'm not into trouble. I'm not looking for no trouble. I'm not trying to create no trouble. But anytime in the scripture, when they begin to preach Jesus, somehow or another, somebody got riled up somewhere. Remember that all throughout the scripture when different ones was preaching? I think of two in particular. One was when the Apostle Peter was there, and that little damsel began to tell Peter, hey, you're a Galilean. You speak like a Galilean. You're with Jesus. He began to stomp and snort and cuss and holler. Oh, I don't even know who the man is. And by that time, that old rooster crowed in the background, and Peter began to realize what Jesus had said unto him. He went away and he wept bitterly for what he had done against Jesus. And we can see that everywhere they went throughout this time, that there seemed to be somebody that was offended somewhere, even in the New Testament, because of the preaching of the gospel. May I give you a newsflash tonight? People are still going to be offended today because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. People can be set free, but people today don't want to hear too much about the gospel for the most case. People say words like this. Well, I'll get right with God when I'm good and ready. I'll get saved when the time is right. No, my friend, you need to get saved while the water has been troubled, like at the pool of Bethesda, when the power of God is moving and the power of God is convicting you, and you know that God is dealing with your heart. That is the time you need to get your heart right, because, friend, somebody said, can you go too far? Can you wait too long? I don't know what going too far is, and I don't know what waiting too long is. But I tell you one thing, I believe what Pastor Dotson always told us as junior preachers at the time. He said, play with your cars, play with your boats, play with your dogs, and play with your cats, but don't play with God. My friend, he drove that into us. I've lived by that to this day. So can you really go too far? I believe you can go too far, and I would hate to be the one sitting on judgment day and the Lord dealing with my heart now and me refusing Him and rejecting Him. You say, well, are you telling me that I need to get born again? Are you telling me I need to get my heart right with God? That is exactly what I'm trying to convey to whoever's listening, to wherever they're listening. I was told the other day by the folks upstairs, we've had people in foreign countries listening on YouTube now to our messages. So I don't know who's listening anymore. It's no longer just in this room. It's the world wide web. I'm telling you that Jesus is still the only way to heaven. And you need to get your heart right with God while we had the opportunity. You say, what are you doing tonight, preacher? I'm just being a tattletale on Jesus. I'm just tattling. I'm just telling you. I'm informing you that Jesus said in the Scripture that He's the only way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. He's not one of many. He's not one of your choices. Leave Him or take Him. No, my friend. If you plan on getting into heaven, you better take Him today. So they preached. Paul preached this. And they were there. And the whole crowd, you can see this. And it says the whole city there in verse number 5. And it says the whole city was in an uproar. And then they came and they assaulted the house of Jason, and they sought to bring them out to the people. They were just going to beat the stuffings out of them. But look in verse 5, and I love this. Verse 6, I'm sorry. And it said, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying. Look at this. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. What would it be today if we told the story of redemption? And if we told the story of salvation to the degree that it would be said of the Thomasville Church of God, that's that church. Over there at 1200 West Holly Hill Road, sitting at the corner of West Holly Hill and Baptist Children's Home Road, that's turning the city upside down. You know, my friend, it's only going to happen when you and I go tell the story. It's only going to happen when we get under the burden and under the load of the gospel. You say, well, that's your job, preacher. When Jesus chose His disciples, He told them to go into the highways and in the byways and compel them to come in. And the word compel, I believe I looked it up at some point in my life. The word compel means to drive with force. You can't make nobody. I understand that. But you can go tell them. My granny wore me down, folks. My granny wore me out. Thank God she wore me out. Thank God she wore me down. I've told you many times. I'd go into her house and look in her refrigerator. I wasn't hungry. I just wanted to go in there and see what she had. My granny would be walking around the house saying, this is my granny. She didn't shuffle too much. She shuffled when she got older. But my granny would sit in her chair. She'd walk around the house going, Jesus, 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 mercy, 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 goodness, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. That's my granny. And my mom was listening. She's probably laughing. And she said, well, yeah, that's right. But my granny would do that. And you know what? I think about it now, Sister West. She might not have been a preacher, but she was preaching to me as a teenager. I got saved at 18. God was good to me. I had sense enough to listen when I was 18. I had sense enough to say, okay, God, you win. I didn't run from God. I thank God. Somebody said, well, what about the calling? And I know I'm meddling right here a little bit. What about the call of God? How did you know that? It's a long story. But one of the things that got my attention was when an elder man was preaching in the pulpit 20 years. He said, I ran from God for 20 years. I was about 20 year old. Somewhere in that neighborhood, 20, 21 year old. Sitting at the Mountain View Church of God, probably in this area, in straight back chairs. And I said, God, if you want me, get me now. Was in a revival. God, if you want me, get me now. My exact words to God in prayer. God, if you want me, get me now. I don't have 20 years to waste. Come on, somebody. So we never know how we're going to, what we're saying is going to affect people. Amen? We never know. And he said again that these are those that turn the city upside down. You can see that. And it said that they've come hither also. Just a few more places that I've got to look to today, tonight, about what happens when we become a tattletale for Jesus. When we just go tell the story. Again, Matthew 28, I'm not going to turn there, but the Bible teaches us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach is to proclaim. The pulpit's not the only place that preaching gets done. I heard it said one time, preach the gospel and only use words when absolutely necessary. Let people see Jesus in us. Hello, somebody. Let people know without shadow of doubt that you are a child of God. Amen? Praise God. I'm glad. I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus. And again, this was my thoughts for the evening. I'm glad that somebody was a tattletale and just told me who Jesus was. Look at this. Just go tell. In the book of Matthew 21, I'll turn there really quick. And I just had a few scattered notes this evening. But in Matthew 21, it says here in the Word of God in verse number 10, and let me find it as well. She can find it before me. But in 21 and 10, it says, and when he was come into the city of Jerusalem, it said, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus. I believe the world today is still saying, who is this? Who is this? Who is this Jesus? And I know you can read that whole story right there, that whole grouping of scripture where Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the back of the donkey, if you will, before his crucifixion. But they were saying, who is this? And when Jesus came in, the thing that I thought about was how the whole city was moved. Wouldn't that be awesome to see the whole city moved again by Jesus? And you think, wow, that'd be awesome. But here's what I think about. Y'all ready for this? When are we going to get moved individually to the point that we're willing to go and tell somebody what God's done for us? Amen? Now, let me go in a couple of more places and you might get out early. He says here again that Jesus, and I think I wrote this down right. I'm not going to tell Kathy till I make sure. So let me look here really quick. Luke chapter 24 and 49. I know this verse very well. And it says, and when he had taken them, and Jesus told them to receive the Holy Ghost. But look at this. I love this. And this talks about when the Holy Ghost is given. Let me just go back to verse 47 and pick it up there. He says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There it is. And then he says, and you are witnesses of these, or you are witnesses of these things. In other words, Jesus was saying, again, this is the equivalent to Matthew 28 about preaching the gospel, but he says that it should be preached in his name everywhere. Everywhere you go. There's another song about that. And he says, and you are witnesses of these things. And of course, in verse number 49, we know that verse. And it says, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. What does Acts chapter 1 and 8 say? That after you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, that you shall be witnesses unto him. Let me break it down. Let me say it like this. You shall be an informer. Let me break it down a little further. You should be a tattletale. You should go and tell somebody what God's doing in your life. Amen. I've never preached on tattletales before. I wonder if anybody in here is a tattletale for Jesus. Just go tell on Jesus. Go tell somebody what Jesus has done. You say, I think, you know what? I think one of the problems that we have today in the hour that we're living in is that sometimes, again, I'm not pointing fingers and I'm not saying you, I'm just making a statement. Sometimes we don't know ourselves what Jesus has done. We really have sometimes gotten to the place, again, maybe not you, I don't know. But have we gotten to the place that we're so unappreciative of what God's done that we've really just not even thought about everything that God has done? And if we've not thought about it, we sure enough ain't going to go and tell nobody. You know, somebody says, I need to count my blessings instead of my problems. Somebody say, amen. He woke us up today. He gave us a sound mind today. I'm sure that most people in this room ate at least one meal today. God's done something for everybody in this room. You drove here. He kept you safe on the highway. Somebody said, well, I went to work today. You had a job today. And as a result of that going to job and working, you have a paycheck. Hello. I mean, look at the blessings. Bountiful blessings. But the problem sometimes is that we're just not tattletales. We need to go tell somebody what God has done. And the last thing here in the book of Acts, I think, let me double check. Again, this has to do with Stephen was already killed, Saul was there, and it's where the gospel was proclaimed in Samaria. Again, you could preach this whole grouping of scriptures, and I didn't do that. I just wanted to pinpoint certain things. And it says, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Persecution that took place in Stephen's life. You know, persecution caused them to scatter. Sometimes persecution is not a bad thing in this context, but it caused them to scatter. And because of the early church scattering out in a lot of different places, what did they take with them? They took with them the word of God. And it says, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And it says in verse number 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Look at verse 7. And unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. Wouldn't that be awesome today if we really did see that? I mean, really, seriously. I don't know if I've really seen a lot of this stuff in my lifetime. I got rebuked about 2 months ago or something like that. And somebody at a breakfast I was at told me that, well, it's because you don't believe, it's because you don't see it. Well, I believe they done special miracles by the hands of the disciples and the apostles at this time. I do believe all of these things are possible today. But I'm just saying that we can still see these things just like they did. But here's the word. Here's what the word says. And it says in verse number 8, the latter part of that, and it says the lame were healed. Look at this, verse number 8. And there was great joy in that city. Wouldn't it be awesome? Again, with what happened in Philip's life, Philip went down, says there in verse number 5, and he preached Christ unto them. And those that heard him gave heed to what was being said. And as a result, they were healed. lame would walk, and we could see every bit of that. And then there was great joy in the city because somebody became a tattletale. So you go tonight and you just go be a tattletale. You go tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Amen? How you like that? Feel good about it? Go tell somebody. Let's stand together. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this time that you've given us to come to your house tonight. Father, all throughout the scripture, we see these examples of those that went and told the story of redemption. Father, I pray that even now that we